Welcome to another Gaslit podcast, and this is episode 47. This week's episode, I want to go into CRM, and it's something I wish I'd have done from day one and got right. So I'm going to run through some of my pitfalls with choosing a good CRM system and what to look out for. But first of all, here's my friend Sean to tell you a bit more about the podcast. Thank you for listening to another Gaslit podcast, the show to help DIYers, new people into the industry, and those who are wanting to expand their knowledge. Each week we'll pick a topic and go into details, and with special guests and listeners' questions answered, we will look forward to some of the conversations. So let's get back to the show. Super, thank you very much indeed, guys. And looking through the listening figures there, we are sort of growing month on month, which is absolutely fantastic. These things, doing these podcasts and stuff, are a bit of a slow burner. So I'm sort of, you know, determined to see it through and just carry on doing it. But this week, we've had the perfect storm that's come together. So last week, I had a really, really busy week. And that all concluded with working late on Friday, and I went away for the weekend. So it was like, I normally do the podcast over the weekend. So we sort of get some fresh sort of news and stuff. Anything that happens, I can sort of just add it in. But I was away. And then when I got back on Sunday, I was back really, really late. So I was like, oh, okay. So then when I looked at the my bookings that I had for myself, I had two late appointments, and one was an out of hours working in a shop. Well, it's actually in a it was in a come on, Sean, get your teeth in properly. It was in a solicitor's office. So I had to take the floor up in the hallway, which is part of the fire escape. So it was important that with the noise of cutting the floor up to try and find a water leak, and the fact that it was in a fire exit, and the fact I was working as solicitors, it was really, really important that we'd done that out of hours. So I actually got in at 10:45 last night from dealing with all of that there up in Blackheath. So it was like, well, when am I going to do the podcast? So I got in late, done a little bit of admin, had my dinner, microwaved, of course. And then I was up at this morning at 4 o'clock to come into the office to get this podcast recorded. Now, I think it's really, really important to be consistent with the podcast. So it's been a bit of a perfect storm for getting this recorded, with everything sort of working towards me, working against me, sorry, for a 4 a.m. start today. So it doesn't matter. I do this because I enjoy it, because I think that actually it gives a lot of value to some people. So, and we're growing. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's my minimum commitment to you guys that are sort of listening week on week. So thank you very much indeed. So the topic of the podcast, CRM. So it's something I wish I did right in the early days. So there's a couple of things that we got to consider. So we're going out on our own. So you've done your bit, you've learned your trade, and you start thinking, right, what's my next step that I'm going to do? So you start thinking, oh, well, I'm going to go on my own, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And so you have your notepad and paper, and then you'll get a telephone call whilst you're at work, and you're writing bits down, scrapping, you know, people's telephone numbers and email addresses. And I've done exactly the same. I had like a year diary. So I'd open the year diary up and physically write it in pen and working through. And that seemed to be absolutely fine, and certainly go back a few years before we had all the apps and stuff like that on our smartphones, and that's just how things were done. But now, obviously, we've got a lot more technology that we've got at our fingertips, literally, and we have the GDPR holding people's their data, and how we secure that as well. We got that to consider these days. We didn't have that sort of 20 years ago, but that's coming, and that's something I'm really, really passionate about, people's data, because I'm passionate about my data being held by other people, and what and how it's being stored, and the vulnerability of it all as well. Because deep down, I'm actually a very private person. On my socials, I don't put up pictures of my family. I don't tell you when I'm going on holiday, only the fact that I've been on holiday, or I've been away, or I've done one of my hobbies. So, yeah, from that side of things, I like to sort of keep things a little bit on the personal side, because realising that when you go and put a picture up on Facebook, it's there, you know, forever, and it's in the public domain. Anyone can rip it off and take it and do whatever they want with it. So it's something that's it was never a problem, but now it sort of is. But that sort of internet security is a whole new sort of topic of area of conversation that I'm not that qualified in. But what's really important is, going back to topic, is CRM. So the CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management Software. So it's where we can put all of our data together into one place. And I only realised this probably about, maybe 10 years ago. Yeah, probably about 10 years ago, when we're doing everything on paper. And it's like, there must be an easier way. And we first started out with Gas Engineer software. So I went over to that, and Gas Engineer software was really good. It was very Apple-y, and it's sort of the way it worked on the app. It was very slick. It was very smooth. It works offline really easy. It syncs. You could have your computer on, and then you could have your phone on, and they'll sync together, and it all comes together quite nicely. But there was a couple of things. The Gas Engineer software was more of a electronic form software that held customers' data. And so to start with, it was great. So you do a gas certificate. So the thing that really got me was the auto reminders. So you put the customer's data in, and then it will then send them, you did a boiler service. It will then email them about 50 weeks later to tell them, oh, your boiler service is due in 2 weeks, which was great for getting customers back. We didn't have to remind them manually. It done it automatically. And the amount of people that said, oh, Sean, you sent me an email the other day. Well, it actually come from the system. It didn't come from me. I'm far too lazy to be doing all of that, really, to be honest. But it showed that, you know, it had that sort of level of automation. And I started really, really thinking about how cool that is, and how much sort of repeat business that brought in for the 20 quid a month or whatever it was at the time. So from that CRM system, there was a couple of things as we started to grow. There was a couple of things I was thinking, we want to sort of be storing pictures on there, so we can go back later on. And Gas Engineer sort of system sort of grew and grew and grew. And we really liked it. But we got to a point where we got a few people on the road. We got an office team as well. And we just sort of outgrew Gas Engineer software. It was more for the one-man band and the reporting system rather than a sort of a growing business. And there was another company called ServiceMate, which only worked on Apple phones, on that iOS system. And we run all Samsung. So it was the upheaval of changing the system over, and the fact that I've now got to upgrade all the telephones. It just made that just sort of that leap just a bit too far for us, really. But it was a very, very flexible system, and used third party sort of developers to come on board to produce a vehicle check forms, so the team could obviously conduct their weekly vehicle checks and daily vehicle checks, and it was a place that everything was being held. And we actually settled for a company called Powered Now. We went over in December 24, and so I'm recording this in the end of March, best part of 25. And month on month, we are sort of sending off requests of some suggested updates on what we can do. So it's not perfect, but one of the really big systems there, it keeps all our data together. It's GDPR compliant because it's all cloud-based. So we don't actually store any data as such on our computers. So if there was a problem, a big fire, or they got stolen or whatever it was, that actually all of it's all cloud-based, and we don't have any of their customer details directly stored onto our system. So the GDPR stuff really becomes quite straightforward and simple there. We can then bring all the pictures together. We can create job sheets. We can create like a time log So we check in on the job, we check out of the job, so we can then see it onto the dashboard, you know, who's where and why and when. They've got a tracker system on there so we can look, see where the guys are. It's not that accurate at the moment, so hopefully they'll do some improvements on that. But one of the big things on there, which I really, really wanted, was the fact that you can push a button when you're traveling to your next job. It will send the client, you can choose whether you send them an email or a text or both. And it will go onto Google Maps and it will get your rough journey time between where you are and to the customer's address. And it will give them an estimated time of arrival when you're on your way. And that really, really has made a massive difference, I think. People are expecting. I turned up to a job yesterday afternoon and the guy was standing outside. It was on a commercial building. It was actually a hotel. And the guy was waiting for me outside because he knew I was due at whatever it was, 12:37. So he was just hanging around to open the gate for us because he had my sort of estimated time of arrival. So from that sort of delivering a better customer service and better customer experience. But personally for me, it's keeping all the data together, all the pictures together, so we can go back in a year's time, 2 years' time, and there's all our photos, and there's all the serial numbers. There's some bits on there that I'm not sort of happy with, but we've been feeding that back. One of the things are, if you do the boiler service, it doesn't keep all the data. So you go back again and you've got to put all the details of the boiler back in. Where Gas Engineer software repopulated that and you didn't have to keep repeating yourself. So that's something that we're on to them about, which I'm really, really, I'm really, really passionate about getting that back, because that's a big time saver that was for Gas Engineer software. But whatever you do choose, and there's more out there than just those sort of three that I've mentioned, whatever system you do use, I highly recommend getting it on board early doors. Obviously, from the invoicing side, you can take care of that. You can link it in with your account software, whatever you do use, but it just brings it all together. So your quotes are together, your invoices together, your certificates are together, your job sheets, your pictures, all of that is in one hub. And that's what, 20, 25 quid a month or whatever it is. And I know it's another outgoing and stuff, but once you get into it, you know, it's worth its weight in gold. But don't tell them I said that. Otherwise they'll put their prices up. So yes, CRM, so super important. Think about, you know, the future and what you're doing and the flexibility that you need, no matter what trade you're in. So yeah, so that's my sort of take on that, really. Another thing I want to go into is like out of hours working. So I've just done this. I was working up in that solicitor's office up in Blackheath, out of hours because of the noise and the fire escape and the bits and pieces there, that we had to sort of navigate to try and find this water leak under the carpet. But it's so easy. So I got in at about 10:45 last night. And so time I finished my dinner and bits and pieces, I'm in bed just before midnight after going through a couple of emails and stuff. And then my alarm went off at 4:00 this morning to be up to get this podcast recorded after being away for the weekend, and sort of I wasn't around to get it done. So sort of had the perfect storm, really, for getting this done. But I'm really passionate about the podcast and getting it out there and keeping that consistency going, even though it's sort of come out of, sort of everything's come against me, really. And it's like, well, okay, I'll do my best to function on 4 hours sleep. But there we are. That's what it is. But out of hours, is it worth it? Are you really robbing Peter to pay Paul? I firmly believe it, and I am a big worker. I do 12 to 16 hours a day, every single day. Weekends is a little bit less, but I do work 7 days a week in doing what we do in one shape or form. Obviously this weekend I was away, but you know, just generally speaking, I do normally work every weekend. And it does take its toll on you. It does. You know, my two kids are grown up now. So they're doing their own thing. And there is a part of me that does reflect back on that, of, you know, the little bits that I did miss in, oh, I've got this job on, I've got that job on. And it's taken me, obviously, into their teen years to realise, actually, you know, was it really worth it? Was that, you know, I can remember without getting too emotional about it, really, but I can remember all of the little Christmas parties and pantos that I missed, but I don't remember what the job was so important that the reason why I missed it. So when you look back on it, it's just really put your priorities first. And if your priorities are you're sort of young and single and it's only the beer time you're missing with your pals, then that's great. That's one thing. But if you've got a relationship, and certainly if you've got children, sort of just think about, you know, what do you want? And most people, they may moan about, oh, I want this job done on a Saturday, I want it done on a Sunday. But actually, if you do say, I've got a family, I've got a small child, we're going to the beach and stuff like that, they've got two choices. They're either going to go, not a problem at all, we'll have it done on Monday, or they'll say, sorry, I'll find someone else. And one thing I've sort of grown towards to learn, really, is that, you know, we can't be everything to everyone all the time. And people are transient and they will go off and use somebody else. And we've had some customers over the recent few weeks that we've had for a long, long time. And, you know, we've not been able to fit their new boiler as quickly as they want, but just because we're busy. We give them a date and he's got, you know, they've gone somewhere else and going with somebody else. So, which is absolutely fine. The old days of I'm just going to hang it out for the next 3 weeks to wait for you regardless doesn't happen anymore. So it all depends on your business model and how you're set up. Because nobody will ever pay you to sort of sit around and do nothing and wait for their phone call. So, you know, everybody wants that sort of Amazon effect. I want this now, click my fingers, and there it is on your doorstep tomorrow. And certainly with some of the models now, you're starting to see with, I think, Argos do same-day delivery. Certainly on the Amazon business, some of the stuff you can order it and get it same day as well. You sort of, we've lost that lead time of, you know, sort of, you know, being grateful it's going to be here in 3 or 4 days. And I think that's sort of where eBay have sort of fallen down to the Amazon effect, really, on their distribution side, and why they've gone sort of bang, really. If you think about Amazon and their business model, they really are all about logistics and that sort of, there's a product, when do you want it? It's going to be slightly more, but you'll have it tomorrow. Or best case, you'll have it by 10 o'clock tonight. So it's absolutely fantastic. So yeah, so I've just got a couple of notes down here. So another thing about, you know, you're setting up, so we talk about the CRM system, and always think about what your purpose is for what you're doing, because it will take so much energy out of you. You will miss family engagements, you will miss parties, you will turn up with dirty hands and dirty nails to a job, to sort of various functions. And my thing is, on a Friday, you know, I'm the one who always end up clearing out a radiator and it's full of black sludge, it goes over my hands, and I always look down and go, well, that's going to take 3 days for that to wash off, because all the staining of the iron oxide that gets onto your hands if you haven't got any gloves on. So, you know, we do make quite a big sacrifice here within the trades in what we do. But always think about what your purpose is. So I didn't really sort of set out with a purpose, really. It was almost just to employ myself. And then it sort of migrated in. I'm getting too busy. Can I get somebody else on board? And Jack come along, which was great. And then he was on board. And of course, then I needed more phone calls and more work to get for the pair of us to work together. And then I started getting a little bit swamped. And then the accountant's on my back for, you know, this VAT returns coming in, and where's this receipt, what's that? And I couldn't cope with it all. And then I got a PA. Jojo was my first PA. And do you know what? That was the biggest fresh air ever. Biggest fresh air ever. So if I can say to anybody that wants to, in any sort of trade, the best thing that you can do is get yourself an assistant, whether it be a part-time assistant, a full-time assistant, there's somebody else that you can put your trust into to say, right, here's my accounts, here's access to our system. Can you reply to these emails? Can you look at this social media stuff? Can you, liaise with the accountant? Whatever you're doing, you can just sort of offload those little tasks. And for me, that was the biggest, biggest relief. Because typically us tradies, we're doing what we do is because we're not that academic. The amount of people that I've met that are sort of dyslexic. So when it comes to that side of things, there's a reason why we work with our hands and not with our head in that sense. And passing it on to someone that, is good in those areas is that's what it's about. That's the magic that is right there. And that'll free up so much time. So and the current team we've got at the moment are absolutely great. And there's some people that are coming that are potentially coming on board with us as well. So we're always looking out for the next great person. So there we are. So that concludes this week's episode. We've just clicked over 20 minutes there. There's me rattling on. So thank you very much indeed for listening, guys. Yeah, it's been great. This is just an audio only because we've just got to get this out in time. So if you have any questions that you want answered, if you'll give us any feedback, we're on email at podcast@gaslec.net. Have a fantastic week, guys. All the best. Goodbye.